Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
Oh.
Jane, come on.
I forgot you were here, Ben.
She's gone rogue. She's gone fucking rogue. She's stepping
we're
up
so
the order.
Pro- what episode is it? Episode is like 134 or something. The
oh
intro.
My God.
That's good. Okay, no, I like that.
Oh my God. Sorry, I was so excited to start talking.
She just wants to start talking. She just wants to get in there.
Jane, are you training for a marathon or something?
God, I don't know how to recover fucking up the end. I can't, now I've just sworn. Wow. Oh my God. There's a reason why you should have made me leave the podcast, guys. I am marathon training. I'm also, just really tired today. I think my brain's not working properly. But hi, everyone on the podcast.
too many miles and too many weddings, Jane. I think that's
too many miles, too many weddings.
Oh, is that the follow up to four weddings and a funeral?
Yeah,
it's a really
two weddings and a marathon.
Straight to DVD.
Yeah,
Jane. A listener got in touch with you because a while ago we talked about you doing London and Chicago.
We talked about doing two weddings and two marathons, but unfortunately, some very nice listener pointed out that the travel corridor isn't actually open.
So you can't do Chicago.
So it doesn't look,
even if you want to.
Unless Biden has a change of heart, or unless that listener was wrong.
He's a listener to this.
So unless the listener was wrong or Joe Biden's listening and feels sorry for me, I can't actually go to Chicago. And I think even if the travel corridor opens, it might involve some sort of quarantine where...
So you're leaving tomorrow.
Then I won't be able to run London. So it's kind of like, yeah. I don't think it's looking very likely, guys. And I wouldn't have known that until I got to Heathrow. So I'm really glad
that you wouldn't have checked. You would have just gone, this will be fine.
Go. I've got an Esther or whatever it's called. Here I come. So really glad that someone out there has my back and has kind of lowered my expectation, and I'm a bit relieved, to be honest.
I think that's good. You can throw everything at London.
Throw
now.
All my eggs into that London Marathon basket. And there has been some London Marathon news, hasn't there? There is a bag drop, but there's a different bag drop this year, and there's no pacers, and they're telling you to only bring one spectator per runner. So I think there's a lot of kind of a bit of a stress around it. I've seen on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a big stress. I mean, and I would say, first time in Rick as a pacer, as a man who's worn had the privilege of
yeah, won the flag for the last three London marathons. I think
it's the first. I asked Andy, the editor in chief, how long we've been doing the pacing, and he was like 90% sure it started in like 2000. So it's like 20 years.
Wow.
Of
20 years of pacing, and yeah, and it is a massive privilege to do it. And I know lots of the pacers who do it every year, are gutted not to.
People rely on those things
to be doing it, and the runners as well. And it's become part of the fabric of the race. But I guess we're still kind of I guess we're not in lockdown anymore. Mm. But some of these kind of sort of hangovers from lockdown are still there, and I think it's about kind of we don't want bunching around certain people. So,
Yeah, I think as well with the way they're doing the waves, it would be so impossible. To even put, you'd have to have more pacers, wouldn't you? Because if there's such a big gap,
you want to get 40,000 people running together, or and make it as safe as possible. Obviously, people are going to be annoyed by there not being flags, but at the same time, you're getting to do a race, so probably just accept it that it's quite nice that you can do
that. I think you're right, we're still kind of in that transition period, aren't we, and races are part of that. But it is a shame, definitely.
It's a shame, of course, but like at one point it was never going to happen. So I think that there's, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. It's a triumph that's happening.
Remember when we couldn't go outside?
When we weren't allowed to do anything? Do you remember when it was winter and it was horrible and bleak? Yeah, it's not that anymore. So let's just enjoy. Yeah. Exactly.
Just enjoy running.
I'll thrill you with a bit of news. I'm penning the first album about the marathon, concept album.
Jen Maguire, initial thoughts. The face. Confused. No one will see it, but it's so stunned that it's almost like the screen is frozen.
Lead single out later this month.
I used to have these chats with Rick and Ben every day, and now they're condensed into once a week. So I don't know if you're joking.
No, I'm not joking. I probably should be joking, but hopefully we'll air the lead single at the end of this month on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
World exclusive.
8 tracks, Jane. 8.
No. I think that's not true. I think it's going to be 7.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
It's getting shorter and shorter.
Good. 7
tracks.
At least
it's not 26.2. At least it's not 26.2.
So for the listener who, like me, are a bit confused, you're going to make an album of songs about marathon running and play them on the podcast.
Yeah, it's kind of about it's about the history of the marathon. So it's looking at sort of some of the big events, you know, throughout the years, and also some conceptual stuff like, you know, the wall and all
like
that.
Like a
kind
rap about Kipchoge.
I'm trying not to rap.
Yeah, you should really try not to rap.
I'm trying not to rap. Okay. But anyway, so that's something to look. I think I'm going to say look forward to. Or
I'm looking
fear.
Forward to that more than the marathon ring.
Well. Thank you very much. You haven't heard, you clearly haven't heard the songs.
I'm not sure if anyone. I'm not sure if we ever played it, or it was one of the jingles. But
we've played some.
So you're going to have to do some homework here, listener, and dig back into the archive. But Rick has recorded something about the history of the marathon.
Don't give it all away, Ben.
Well,
if you really want to dig back, find the Made in Chelsea episode where Rick's singing.
Yeah, that's true.
So, real true podcast fans will remember that gem that sort of got leaked.
So there's a lot to look forward to.
There's
this
one
month.
About
that's
the history of the podcast, and it is in one of the episodes that has gone out many years ago. So, you know, there's a sneak peek there that someone can leak. On the internet.
Leak.
The album's leaked.
Probably not worth leaking, I'll be honest. And Ben, so Jane's training for London Marathon. I'm recording the first ever concert album about the marathon. Yeah. What you got? What are you going to add to the pot?
What am I going to tell you about? I've had a cold. and I haven't done any running. Because anytime I move faster than a slow walk, I tend to cough horrifically. And
it's a great time of time in the world to be coughing.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's really, really good to walk along and cough, and then people look at you and you kind of have to.
Do you qualify it immediately?
Yeah, I mean, you sort of you look over and you're just a bit like, oh no, it's just a cold. Haha, no, don't worry, I haven't got the plague. So that's always something really great that you want to be doing. But no, I'm gonna go for a run. Well, I love running when it's hot and it's gonna be warm. It's gonna be a warm week, so I'll try and get out for a little run. And blow away some snotty cobwebs.
Lovely.
Lovely.
Right. Well, on that lovely image, Ben, I think we should welcome our guest of the week. What do you think?
Yes, better than my imagery. Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete.
Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown. Running seemed an impossible dream for our next guest after she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, but for her, putting one foot in front of the other has powered an amazing journey. Katie Silverthorne, welcome to the Runs World podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
For anyone unfamiliar with it, what is multiple sclerosis?
Right, well, multiple sclerosis, MS, comes in lots of different forms. So you get relapsing remitting MS, you get primary progressive and secondary progressive. And I think there is a fourth one as well, which kind of predates relapsing remitting. But that's not technically MS. It gets a bit complicated there. And it is where... So in our nervous system, we have myelin sheaths. It's a little bit like the electrical casing on a wire. And what happens, your immune system, for whatever reason that is not really understood, attacks that myelin sheath, and it's a bit like pulling the rubber off an electrical wire, and it shorts and information doesn't get through properly. So you can get every type of possible symptom imaginable, everything from digestion through to vision, through to people get tinnitus and audio problems, problems swallowing, problems digesting. Most common problems tend to be sensitivity, so feeling, things that you can feel in your bodies, in your body, in your skin. Pain is a big one. So a lot of random neurological pain in any kind of way and feeling you could ever possibly imagine. So everything from stabbing to I get a feeling like my foot is, I wouldn't really qualify it as pain actually, I get a feeling like my foot is in a bowl of porridge. And so it doesn't really hurt, it's just really weird. But I'm so used to it, it doesn't cause me alarm anymore. So you can get strange bodily feelings. Lots of people do lose the ability to move their limbs properly. It can do pretty much anything that you could imagine because it's your nervous system and anything can happen.
Yeah.
And within those three, let's keep it to three versions of it, is there sort of ease severity in different sort of scales of suffering?
Well, it varies from person to person because it's never the MS is not the same for any two people. It will be different. My experience of MS will be different to somebody else's. So generally speaking, and bear in mind, I'm not a neurologist and I'm not really an expert, is relapsing, remitting MS is usually where it starts. So what happens with that is you get what's known as a relapse or a flare. Well, a relapse is where you get new symptoms. So something new that has not happened to you before is classified as a relapse. And then, in theory, you get better from it, hence the relapsing, remitting. So it flares up and then you get better. But what also happens within that is you get, so relapses are new and exciting problems that you have. Flares are just the same old problems that you had before, but coming up to raise their ugly head. But it's not really a relapse because it's just the old lesions in your brain or your spinal column. So what happens when your immune system attacks these myelin sheaths is it leaves plaques, and it gets like, it's sort of like calcified hard stuff that the signals can't get through. So what happens is you can be left with problems that you experience from that relapse. It doesn't mend itself properly, and you can be left with those same problems before. So that's relapsing, remitting. Then you get secondary progressive. So sometimes relapsing, remitting turns into secondary progressive, which means there are no longer any more remittance. It's just relapse, 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 flare, 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 and you are just sick on a constant, never-ending basis. Yay. And then you get primary progressive, which is you get your first major relapse and then that's it. And then that's primary progressive. It then progresses as secondary progressive would do, but it just continues as primary and you never get that. You never go through that relapsing, remitting stage.
And when did you realise what were the kind of signals that you were suffering from MS, or is that the right word? You had MS, I guess.
Yeah. So it was so we have to go back 22 years ago. It's a really long time. I was 18 and I got numbness in my right hand. And that stayed around for about 2 weeks and then it went. And then about 3 or 4 months later, I got numbness in my right hand again. And again, it stayed around for 2 or 3 weeks and it went. And I went to the doctor and they said that I had a trapped nerve in my back and that it would fix itself. And it did. It went away. It went away until I was 23. And I never had any other symptoms as far as I can remember. When I sort of try to look back to my early 20s and my late teens, there was nothing particular that I could put my hands on. And then when I was 23, I started to get numbness in my left foot. And over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, the numbness in my left foot ran up my entire body. So it's my whole leg, the whole of the left-hand side of my body, all of my arm, not my hand, the left-hand side of my face. Like you could have drawn a line down the middle of me, like exactly across to where I had normal sensitivity and desensitized. So it wasn't numb as in completely paralyzed. It was what's known as desensitized. And that desensitization comes with a lot of pain. So if you touch the skin where you're desensitized, you get shooting pains that go through it. It's a little bit like when you sat on your foot and it's gone to sleep and then you get off your foot and it's waking up and you stand and you go, oh, good grief, that's painful. It's like that, so, but everywhere, and it's really unpleasant. Combined with that, my balance was shot, so I couldn't stand up very easily without falling over. And I had dropped foot, which means that your foot sort of hangs down and you can't, you lose the ability to lift your toes up properly. And fatigue was, oh God, just crippling fatigue. You could sleep 23 hours a day. And like literally, and that's not an exaggeration, you get up to wee to eat and then you go back to bed to do more sleeping because it's exhausting just constantly. So that was when I was 23. And I was then diagnosed when I was 24, it was about a year later because there was such a long wait and I was ill for ages and there was a long wait to see neurologists. And I was diagnosed by an MRI and looking at all the, you can see like white lesions in your brain and your spine. And you go, oh, look, there's my brain. It's not exciting. It's like, wow, it was really interesting. But it's like, it's not meant to have those little sweeties on it, is it? No, no, it's not. So yes, that was that.
What was it like those early days and weeks after the diagnosis? Because it's obviously, it's a life-changing discovery, that, isn't it? I mean, how did you feel and how did you kind of come to terms with having MS?
So, because I had been undiagnosed for many, many months and I had been very sick without any idea of what was wrong with me. And the idea, I think what happens when you're sick with no idea what's wrong with you is you'd start to think it's all in your head because there's nothing that anybody can see. And so there's nothing. There's literally, I looked fine until I tried to stand up, walk or do anything or speak because I was so exhausted I couldn't string a word together, couldn't string a proper sentence together. And when I finally got my diagnosis, I was actually just relieved. I was like, oh, thank goodness, this is not all in my head. So first off, I can rule out I'm not going mad. And that was really, really made me feel quite happy that I wasn't going mad. I was like, yes, this is good. But then it was like, oh, hang on a second, I've got MS now. Mm. What does that mean? So I then had to really try to understand what that meant. And 20 years ago, it was very different to being diagnosed now. I wasn't diagnosed. I was diagnosed 17 years ago, actually. So 17 years ago, it was very different. There wasn't the access to information that we have now. Now, all you have to do, if you want to know about something, you just Google it. Well, it didn't exist then. You couldn't just Google it. I didn't even have a computer in the house. There was no smartphones. You wanted to know anything, you had to go to the library. There was nothing. So there was no access to information. Which, you know, is good and bad, depending on how you look at it, because sometimes we can over-Google our symptoms and then become convinced we've got every possible thing under the sun.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, everybody's experienced. Don't Google symptoms. It's never a good idea.
No, it's terrible.
But then also, there was very few treatments. There was no drugs. So now there's a lot of what are known as DMTs, which are disease-modifying treatments. And there's a lot of them now, and there's loads and loads of options for people who are newly diagnosed. When I was diagnosed, there weren't any options. So I did get better-ish from that initial relapse, but what happened, I was still intermittently numb down my left-hand side. My balance was still ruined. I was very, very fatigued, not as fatigued as I had been. I was still in a lot of pain, and I still had dropped foot. So I could walk. Yes, I could walk. I could always walk, but it was slow and ponderous and exhausting and hard. And I tripped over constantly because of my stupid foot was hanging down. So, you know, when I sat then and asked the nurse, I said, okay, so I've got MS. When am I going to get better? Was my question. And she said, well, dear, you're not going to get better. And I remember just sitting there going, I don't think so. And I just couldn't have that as my future. And I believed her because what else was I going to do other than believe her? But I thought there has to be a way to get well. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand what it was. But I just thought, no, I've got to get better than this. I'm not well enough. I'm 24 by that point, 24 years old, and I can't hike anymore. I was just like, this is not, like, I can't walk properly. I could walk, but I wasn't going to be hiking up mountains, and I definitely was not going to be running. That was not for many years. So it was really hard. It was very hard to swallow. But what it does do is it makes you decide what you really, really want in life. and don't mess about. Like, you don't need to wait until you retire to do what you want to do. You don't need to wait until some magical point in the future where the stars align and everything is right. You just think, actually, I'm just going to do it now. If it doesn't work out, I'll just try something else. So you stop messing about, I think.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're obviously exhausted, numb, in pain, all the classic symptoms of a race. So, I mean, running seems like a very natural fit. No, when did, how, you know, you're at this point where the diagnosis has been something that, you know, as the nurse has said to you, this is not going away.
Yeah.
When does running come into this then? If you're, you know, because everything you've said so far is debilitating, and running is you need as much energy as you've got to get into it.
Yeah. So lots of things led me to being able to run, and it was no one thing. But yeah, because we don't have 5 days to discuss this, I will very, very briefly. So first off is being able to listen to your body. And that's really important. So that means when you're listening to your body, we're not drinking too much caffeine so that we're artificially, you know, G'd up, not too much sugar, same reason. And also sugar is just really bad for you, full stop. Being able to actually rest and relax and turn off and stop is really important, in whatever way that works for the individual. So I like meditation and I like Tai Chi and I like things like that. But if you don't, then just read a book, just sit down, relax, rest, turn your brain off, stare at the birds. You know, I like building towers of stones on the beach. You know, whatever it is that makes you happy, learn to just listen and stop and rest and relax. Diet has been really important for me as well. What I eat has been really changing. So no alcohol. Alcohol was a massive trigger for me. Gluten is a huge trigger as well. So I don't eat any gluten. I do eat some things that other people don't eat. So I do eat dairy, but I toy occasionally with the idea of giving it up. But I haven't really found for myself there's a lot of evidence apart from sinusitis. So I just think, you know, it depends. But if you don't eat much gluten, there's not much call for dairy anyway, because there's nothing to put your butter and your cheese with. You're like, I just have a butter lolly. It's not quite as exciting, is it? And then I had acupuncture for many, many years to start to manage pain. And that really changed how I could manage my pain. And by being able to give me so acupuncture gave me the boost and energy that I needed and also took away a lot of the pain or helped to manage a lot of the pain so that I could do other things that would then allow me to manage it myself. So once I kind of started to bring all those things together, which is why it took a long time, you don't get to do those things overnight. They don't happen instantaneously. I started running about 7 years, something like that, as after my daughter was born. And I was getting better. That was really what it came down to. And I had more energy and I was getting better. And I thought, well, I wonder if I can run. And there was a couple of false starts, and the wrong trainers led to injuries, sore knees, sore ankles, all that kind of stuff. The wrong way of running as well led to the same thing. So then I had gait analysis and I got the right trainers and I did all those sorts of things and actually started to understand how to run. And that made all the difference. And then you get all these wonderful knock-on effects, because the fitter you are, the less fatigue you get. So, and you just do. And people with chronic fatigue hate hearing that, because doctors tell them constantly, when they ask, what can I do with my chronic fatigue? And they say, exercise. And they makes you want to smack them in the face, because you think, I can barely walk up the stairs. Why are you telling me to exercise? But of course, you don't. What you don't do is go, I'm going to run 5K today, when you can't walk up the stairs. That's not going to happen. So what I did, and what I continue to do now, but I'm fitter now, so it's less relevant, but I still do it. If I have a flare, I still go back to sort of almost the beginning, not quite, but almost to the beginning, depends how long the flare goes on for. And you run and you walk, and you do that for a long time, and you do much more walking than you do running. But the more you do of it, the fitter you get, as we all know. But you just take it really, really slowly, and you don't rush. And I do lots of other things that go with it as well. So it's not just running. I do Pilates, I do yoga, I do Tai Chi, as I've mentioned. I also swim. And I do lots of other things. And I'm starting weightlifting now as well. I don't know what's come over me. But yeah, I know I don't feel strong enough in my upper body, because that doesn't get worked on enough.
the runner's upper body, yeah, it's not.
It's a bit flimsy, and I could do with it not being quite so flimsy. So it's all about just being as fit as I possibly can be at any given time, so that when I do flare, which I do, then I don't have so far to fall, and you don't fall so far, and you recover much faster.
I'm sure Ben and Rick will agree, you're so amazingly positive. And do you think running and exercise has helped that help you kind of stay in this really kind of positive mindset about your diagnosis?
Definitely. So there's lots and lots of things that go with that buoyant mindset. And I can tell you, it's not always positive. Anybody who follows me on Instagram will know that it isn't always positive, because human brains are not always positive. We have down days as well. But the important thing within our mindset is that we have a buoyant mindset, so that we take those knocks and we go, okay, I feel rubbish today, so I'm going to rest. Let's see how tomorrow goes. Oh, tomorrow's still a bit rubbish. Okay, so you have to build into your day ways that make you feel like you still have power and still have control. Even if that is not today running, it doesn't mean tomorrow is not going to be running. It just means right now is not the thing you're going to do. So find things you do like doing. Do you like crafting, creating? Do you like cooking? Are you too tired to stand to sit on a bench and cook? Have your vegetables pre-cut. You know, there's lots of ways that you can still experience those things that make you feel like you are a connected, valuable, vital human who has a point and a purpose in the world. And it's got to extend into the days that you feel rubbish and the days that you feel good, so that you feel purpose. And that is often the problem, is that when people get chronic illnesses and they're suddenly really sick and their bodies are failing them, they feel rudderless, purposeless, pointless, a burden. They feel like they've got no place in the world. And it's allowing you to find that place and that purpose. And so, you know, mindset really does make a difference. So there's lots of things that add to my mindset. It's that kind of thing. But also I do a lot of visualization of a running healthy body, or whatever it is that I want to do. I do a lot of, I'm very keen on, I do a lot of talks on mindset for people with chronic illness. So, you know, lots of affirmations, but meaningful affirmations that are purposeful to you individually, not just I am healthy. That isn't going to do it, because you're not healthy. You need something that means and speaks to you individually, to what you want to be. And lots of journaling and things that just help to root out all the sludgy grey rubbish that we carry around with us, and let it go and just release it and become the most easy and free flowing person that you can be, whilst maintaining that buoyant mindset.
Sounds good. On the running front, do you have a kind of standout proudest moment?
Oh, goodness me. So my most proud, my, you know what, actually a couple of years ago I ran across the Severn Bridge, and it was a 10k run, and that's still the furthest that I ever do. I never run further than 10k, because it's just, I don't have the desire to run any further than 10k, and that might change, so never say never. I sort of started to think, oh, maybe a half marathon would be nice or something, but I'm not convinced that it's the right move for my body. So I don't like to put my body under too much stress. I always like to finish whatever exercise I'm doing with plenty of energy in the batteries afterwards so that I'm not completely ruined. And I'm not fit enough to do any further than that yet. And I still haven't got to being any fitter than that. But running that first 10K was, I was so proud of myself and it was wonderful. My daughter was there. She was about 3, I think, at the time or something like that. And I was just like, it was wonderful coming across that bridge. I was like, yeah. I was so, that last bit was so hard as well, because it then went up the ramp to get what you would go up the ramp to get back onto the bridge. And there was like a long hill at the end. I was like, this is so mean. There's a hill. I haven't practiced on hills. I go round a marina. And so that has got to be my, I was just like, oh yeah, this is brilliant. I can do this. But actually every time I run after I have a flare up, I feel just as proud as I did then, because every time my legs are still doing it and every time I'm still moving, I feel thoroughly pleased with myself.
It's really interesting the way you just sort of, the way that you approach it and the way that you view it all, and especially sort of in context to most people would be like, I've got to empty my tank in this race. I've got to do it this way. And obviously MS for you means that if you do that, the recovery is, I don't know if it's much
weeks
more significant.
And weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So running is very much a therapeutic sort of tonic, should you say, rather than this sort of like be all and end all must complete to my detriment.
Yeah. I don't have any sense of ego in relation to the running. And I look at lots of other people. I follow loads of runners on Instagram, and I'm astounded at how fast they go. I can't believe that any human body can go that fast. And then I go, I should go faster. And they go, I won't go faster. I'll go exactly the speed I need to go, because this is what my body needs me to do. I run because it makes me feel good. That's the only reason to run. Like, as far as I'm concerned, there's no other reason to run. It's because it makes me feel good. There's no competition within it. There's no competition with myself. I don't even, if I look at my watch and I've gone 4.5 kilometers and I go, yeah, I've done enough now, I don't go, just push to 5. I go, no, I've done enough, you know. And it's like, and that's listening to your body, and it's being able to listen to your body and actually being able to step away and go, no, I think, you know, I won't run any more than this. This is a good time to stop.
There you go, Jane.
I'm gonna record that and play it on repeat.
Jane cannot leave the digit has to be complete on a run.
It has to be 5 or 0. I'm sorry. I'm
9.8.
A control freak. The little things I cling on to. But I need to listen to that. I'm going to record that and play it to myself.
Well, I think it depends why you run, doesn't it? What is its purpose for you? Why do you run?
Yeah, I run because I'm a control freak. So that was... That's why. Wow. What a hard look at myself on a podcast on a Monday afternoon.
I'm sorry I mentioned it.
Edit me out.
No, but it's amazing. I think that's a message. A message that we've mentioned 100 times before, but we'll always mention again, that the pure enjoyment of it is really the be all and end of all. And if you get to do a race and you do well in that race, that's great. But really running should be that wonderful thing that sort of gets you out the door and makes you feel good.
It's freedom, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just absolute freedom. And I like to run, I don't always run with no music or no podcast. Sometimes I like to run just totally with nothing.
Mm.
And I find that just wonderful.
Yeah,
I'm the same. Because you just run and all you do is I don't think about anything really. And then suddenly I get a wonderful illuminating thought and I go, I'm a genius, this is amazing. And by the time I've got home, I've forgotten what my genius thought was, but there was a genius thought there.
I often just think this is quite hard. That's mainly my...
Maybe run slower.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yep.
I'm sure that's not what you're supposed to say, is it? They run slower.
No, I'm fine with that. That's great advice.
Finally, Katie, what would be your message to anyone else who's suffering from multiple sclerosis or other sort of serious conditions who might be thinking about running but worried that it might not be for them?
Well, running, certainly with any exercise, find something that brings you joy, whatever that is, because you're not going to want to keep doing it if it doesn't make you happy. It doesn't matter how much you think that unless you love it, you won't keep doing it. If it's especially running, because it rains a lot and, you know, we're often muddy and cold and wet and sweaty and you wonder why you're there, but it's because it brings you joy. So find something, whatever it is, that brings you joy. Also, start really, really slowly. Whatever you're doing, don't go at it gung-ho. Learn to listen to your body. And also, certainly with things like MS, don't just assume that because you're sick today that you're going to be sick tomorrow. If I scroll back 15 years, I would assume that my future now would be a wheelchair and, you know, certainly no running, certainly no mountain hiking and all the other very many things that I do. But that's not how it's turned out to be. And so you can't always assume that tomorrow is going to be as you think it's going to be. And that runs in all directions, of course. But you don't have to assume that you're going to be ill. And you can, I think there's lots of things that we can take control of. But find the thing that really brings you joy and do that and just do loads of it.
Katie, thanks so much for your time and coming on the Run As Well podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If anyone wants to get in touch with you and talk about multiple sclerosis, where can they go?
The best place to find me is on Instagram, and I am MS_is_my_superpower. So MS is my superpower on Instagram. You can also find me on my website, katiesilverthorne.co.uk.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Run As Well podcast. Thanks very much to our guest, Katie, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to Run As Well magazine and get 3 issues for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runaswellpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer, or dive straight in, get yourself a year's subscription, and then just kick back and relax and read some of that sweet, sweet running magic.
You can listen to the Run As Well UK podcast on Acast, iTunes and all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Run As Well UK and click subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.